Hello, and welcome to our special series of Green Elephant interviews during March 2021, supporting the annual B Corps Month. B Corporations, or B Corps for short, are businesses that meet the highest standards of verified social and environmental performance, public transparency, and legal accountability to balance profit and purpose. Throughout March, we are chatting with key people in companies which have chosen to certify as B Corps and become a force for good. Today, I've been joined by Andy Aitken from Honest Mobile. Changing mobile for good, Honest Mobile have built up from the ground to do just that, helping managing your mobile plan with more control, smarter notifications, smarter signal, and actual human support team. They are working hard not to disappoint. The UK's only carbon neutral network, and they've just been certified a B Corporation in September 20. Andy Aitken is one of the founders and CEO for Honest Mobile, having turned his back on the dark and odious life as an accountant, it's just half as easy for me to say. He loves to talk about technology, sustainability, finance, and the great outdoors. Welcome to the show, Andy.
Hello, nice to meet you.
So, Andy, I'm going to kick off straight away and find out why is your mobile more honest than anybody else's mobile?
Well, that is a fairly easy question because we think the mobile industry as a whole is pretty dishonest, to be honest. There's been a lot of time where people haven't felt like there's much choice, and you know, you end up going with one of the big networks that you've all heard of, Vodafone or Three or EE or O2. Yeah. And you sign up, you pay a lot of money, you get a phone for 2 years, and lo and behold, your bill never changes or even goes up. So, you know, you see your bill going up with inflation. Absolutely. You suddenly get a bill at the end of the month that's got a bunch of call charges on it that you don't recognize. But it's a month, 6 weeks, 8 weeks after you made those phone calls. You've got absolutely no idea who you were phoning. And the simple fact is that most people just pay way too much for their phones. So most customers are, you know, sign up for something that sounds like an amazing deal, like unlimited data or 100 gigabytes of data a month for 30 or 40 pounds a month. But most consumers in the UK use about 2.5 gigabytes of data a month. So most people are just on completely the wrong plan. But, you know, the networks would prefer, in many cases, not to tell you, because you've signed up to a 12-month plan or a 24-month plan, and they're quite happy for you to pay for 100 gigabytes of data, knowing happily that you're using 1, 2, 3 gigabytes of data. And so we thought it was just a good opportunity to do something where we actually put what the customer needed front and center. And so we don't tie people into contracts. We actually tell you if you're on the wrong plan. We send you a notification saying, hey, you could save a tenner a month by shifting down to a smaller plan. If you make a chargeable phone call, we'll send you a notification to let you know that you did. And we'll even look for a free version of that same phone number so that you don't make the same mistake again. And we're also, well, last year we were carbon neutral. This year we became carbon negative. So we've also looked into, you know, the impact of technology, and particularly comms and mobile phones, on climate change. We think there's quite a lot to talk about there that's sort of overlooked, really. So there's lots going on.
Yeah. So this seems rooted in transparency, where the mobile networks previously have been deliberately opaque so that they can carry on charging you money, and simplicity. So is that the heart? Or is that the basis of why you formed the company?
Yeah, I think transparency was one of the kind of key words for us. It's actually why we became a B Corp. We thought it was a really good way of kind of solidifying our integrity around that transparency message. It's all well and good saying you're transparent, but particularly as a small business, there's not that many checks or balances on you. So we thought that the B Corp certification process gave us some of that rigor that was otherwise missing. Yeah. But yeah, transparency has been missing for consumers and for business customers, I think, across the whole industry. And we, you know, we'd seen Monzo doing something similar in banking. We'd seen Bulb doing something similar in utilities. And it just felt like telecoms was one of those industries that was missing some innovation in the 21st century.
Yeah. So you're out to disrupt that mobile market, that traditional mobile market, which, to be honest, has been around for, what, 30 years, I suppose, when I first signed up to, I think, somewhere between Vodafone before I converted to O2. So, I mean, if this isn't too brave a way, how have you done this? How have you managed to achieve this transparency where these old behemoths have not?
So, I mean, let's explain how it works a little bit, I suppose. So we're what's called a virtual network. So we piggyback on the infrastructure of Three in the UK. So we haven't had to build masts or license infrastructure from the government. So plainly, that's an expensive job. And we couldn't afford to do that. But also, lots of the UK, most of the UK, has pretty good coverage. So there's, for most people, no need for us to be going out and building extra masts, putting extra fairly ugly masts in the middle of the countryside. So we piggyback on their infrastructure. So that makes things nice and simple for us from a kind of hardware point of view. And all of the big networks have wholesale businesses, and we buy minutes and data usage off those, off Three. And we package it up and sell it to our consumers. But what we've done is, rather than relying on some of the more old-fashioned technology that is from 30 years ago when the networks were set up, we've built all of our own billing platform and our own app sits in the cloud. So we can do things that others simply can't. So, you know, we're processing your bill in real time. We're sending you that information in real time about what's going on if you're making chargeable calls. And what we also do is we monitor all of your usage. We look at what type of phone you're using, and then we work out how much roughly your carbon emissions are over the course of the month. And we offset those through fundamentally reforestation at the moment, but we're looking at some other options in the future as well.
All right, that's good. We'll talk about carbon negative in a minute. You mentioned no contract?
So almost all of our customers are just on a 30-day rolling contract, so they're free to leave anytime they want. We offer an annual plan as well for people who want to save a little bit of money, but we actually find that most customers, consumers and business, prefer the flexibility of being able to leave. And, you know, we are a smaller business at the moment, and there's a certain amount of trust in switching your phone number over to somebody else. So we think that makes it a nice, easy barrier. And if it doesn't work out for people, we're, of course, sad to see them go, but it means that there's a bit less fear about change.
So what drove you to, I mean, You got sustainability at the heart of the business. What's the driver behind you as the and your co-founder, whose name suddenly escapes me?
Josh,
thank you. What drove you to perhaps start a more sustainable business, a more transparent business? It wasn't just to become a B Corp, obviously.
No. So I'd, as you said, been working in finance previously, and I'd been working with a lot of startups actually, and seen some of them using great schemes like 1% for the Planet or becoming B Corps. And so when we set Honest up, it was back in 2019, we thought there was no reason not to bake doing the right thing into the heart of the business from day one. Not because it was a great marketing tool, not because it was a great way to attract investors, but because it just was the right thing to do. You know, we're not looking to rip anyone off. We're not looking to be difficult, and we wanted to be a carbon neutral business. But as a small business, I guess I've kind of touched on this already, it's easy to say things and no one ever checks it. So we thought if we could get some certifications, whether that was becoming a B Corp or being a member of 1% of the Planet, it would help us get some credibility, I suppose. And the more we've invested in it, the more we've gone down this journey, the more we've realized that it's obviously really important, but it's also totally manageable if you make it something that you focus on. It doesn't have to be incredibly complex, and it doesn't have to be really hard work.
Okay.
I guess we've benefited from doing it from day one. So, you know, we looked at the sort of B impact assessment and we said, well, we don't have any team yet, but when we do have a team, we want to make sure that we're doing the things that B Corp say is best practice.
Yeah.
So we sort of used it as almost a model for designing the business. Every time something came up, we were like, well, what would B Corp say we should do? And I guess, you know, sort of before all of that, you know, I'd looked at, I studied a bit of sustainability at university, always been interested in kind of great outdoors, but hadn't been sort of heavily involved in sustainability commercially until Honest.
And Aaron, you mentioned the great outdoors, and I see you brought a bit of the great outdoors indoors to the right of you. For those that are watching this on YouTube, where it's also available, what's the great outdoors? What's your attraction to the great outdoors? You said you were happy to talk about it in somewhere I read up about you.
Always happy to talk about it. I grew up in Northumberland, so I guess quite a rural area, and then moved down to Lincolnshire as a 10-year-old. So I've always kind of been used to big, wide open spaces when I look out of the window rather than the city where I now am.
Oh, well, you descended, have you?
Descended in London now. And particularly over the last year, I think being outdoors has been a kind of respite, to be honest. But my dad's Scottish as well, so I spent a lot of my childhood up in Scotland with his family.
I do love Scotland.
And, you know, it's just beautiful. It's just really relaxing. And it's one of those places where I find I can really switch off much more so than when I'm in central London with my iPhone pinging in my pocket.
Yeah. And it's, although London's very good for green space, it's not too bad for green space.
It's amazing. They've got Richmond Park. It's got loads of parks. It's huge. But yes. It's not quite the same as seeing that kind of endless horizon.
That's right. Yeah, that is true. I mean, we live in Cornwall, so we know. And I've never been to Northumberland, did you say? And Lincolnshire, yeah. I've actually never been there. But I can imagine, we appreciate being able to step outside and then a few minutes later, you can't see a building in sight.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not really, because a cloud obscures it. So it's nice to hear. I like to hear the background of people that love the great outdoors. You mentioned trees. Keeping the outdoor theme, but and the carbon negative. So obviously the planting of trees is a popular way to offset, but you mentioned that are you looking at some alternatives to carbon sequestering or?
Yeah, so we're looking at two alternatives right now. In fact, I got an email about them both this morning. One's around biochar and one is around direct air capture. So sucking carbon out of the air and turning it into limestone effectively. Really expensive compared to planting trees, but permanent, and obviously if we can support new technologies like that, it'll only help bring the price down. And you know, it's a differential of 100x at the moment in terms of the cost, but the more people that use it, the cheaper it'll get. And the more we'll be able to shift towards that, you know, for the next 5, 10, 20 years.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the problem with the trees, as we found, is that, you know, as we've done some research in the Green Elephant Show, is that it takes a long time for a tree to become carbon out of the air. And a lot can happen in 20 years to a tree.
Yeah.
But, you know, these more direct technologies are fascinating, really, is how they're thinking they're going to turn the... I've seen one which turns it into fuel as well, which can be burnt as petrol. The same as petrol without modifying the engine of the car, which is like...
extraordinary.
Bonkers. And I don't know why it's not out there. It's because they've got a big manufacturer of it in the... somewhere in the Sweden or Finland or something like that. I can't remember where it is. But yeah, that kind of technology is going to be key. Is there any other technology that's grabbing your fancy at the moment?
Those are the main ones that we've been looking at, actually.
Yeah.
And I guess we've sort of taken a two-pronged approach on it. So one is, you know, doing stuff now that means we can actually do something.
Yeah.
And then secondly, looking at some of the kind of snazzier technology that's on the horizon, seeing how we can sort of build it into a portfolio and try to help those businesses become more economically viable over time. Because I think if you say to most consumers. They wouldn't be that they can offset their carbon footprint at $1,000 a ton. That's, you know, prohibitively expensive compared to
it's a bit eye-wateringly expensive.
it's pricey, but it's, you know, it's one of the right answers in the long term.
Yeah, I mean, it's got to be, isn't it? Because it is directly sequestering carbon from the air.
And permanently. I guess that's the key thing as well.
I mean, the other side of technology is the mobile in your hand. Now, you don't yourselves, you know, bundle mobiles in with your contracts, do you?
No, we don't. So we are SIM only at the moment. We encourage our customers either to use the handset they've already got, or if they're on the hunt for a new handset, to look at refurbished ones or our favourite B Corp Fairphone, who makes repairable and upgradable smartphones. And we've got some exciting news coming up with Fairphone over the next couple of weeks as well. So we don't focus on the handsets themselves, but that is where the bulk of the carbon footprint is. So you can make a big difference just by holding onto a phone for a little bit longer.
Yeah. And then, you know, for those people that feel they need to move on and move up, and there are some occasionally there's reasons you might.
Absolutely.
But you make sure you get yours into your old one into the hands of somebody else and not into the bottom of your drawer, probably.
Exactly.
Yeah.
One of my fact or fakes for later, you might have a little bit of familiarity with on that.
Oh, right. Okay. Well, I look forward to that one. Just move. Well, you've got a tip for us, hopefully, an action or a something that we can do. What would that be?
Well, apart from signing up for Honest Mobile, obviously.
Oh, right. Okay.
It's
shameless plug as a tip.
I'll put it in. I'm moving on past the shameless plug. I think it's about making, you know, small changes. So, you know, there was a stat I was reading today that about 70% of 18 to 24 year olds just feel overwhelmed by the climate crisis. And that's both that there is one,
yes,
and they're going to be really badly affected by it. But secondly, that, you know, there's so many people saying switch energy supplier, eat less meat, fly less, don't use gas, don't use petrol, use public transport, switch phone provider. That the choice becomes overwhelming as well. And suddenly you can kind of feel like, well, all hope is lost. There's nothing we can do. I may as well give up now and jump on a plane. And I think my tip is to do something, you know, make those small changes that are actually easy. You know, switching utility provider is a great thing to do. Eating one less meal that's meat-based a week is a great thing to do. And yeah, doing it 7 times a week would make a bigger difference, but doing it once is better than doing it never. And so I think, yeah, my tip is all around doing, you know, those small changes, because they do all make a difference.
Yeah. We in the show, me and Mike went vegan in November for a month. Tried our hardest. And then we concluded really that we'd be better off, instead of returning back to our normal ways, to be an imperfect vegan. Just to accept the fact that we don't feel ethically impelled to not eat animal, but just do it because it's better, and then just do it a bit at a time. So yeah, I really buy into that tip. I like it. And I know also, have you got anything for us to read?
Reading, highly recommend How Bad Are Bananas by Mike Berners-Lee, which I'm sure you've read, but.
Well, funny you should say that. Again, I'll hold it up for the...
I mean, that is exceptional product placement.
I've got it here. How Bad Are Bananas? You're not the first. I'm sure you won't be the last. Why is it so good?
So I just think it's really decipherable to anyone. And I think it's both simple and gets into some of the nuances that people often miss. So, you know, single-use plastic bags are bad. You know, it's single-use plastic, they end up in the sea, that's not a good thing. But if you use your canvas tote once and then it goes and lives in the back of a cupboard, it's got a bigger CO2 footprint. And, you know, I remember back in my corporate days, it felt like I got one of those every day at a different event I was going to, or someone was trying to sell me something. And I think Mike gets into that sort of debate in a really sensible and grounded way. And, you know, sort of says pick your battles. No point becoming a vegan full time if you're still taking a first class flight to Hong Kong for a 2-hour meeting once a quarter. And so, yeah, I just think it's a really approachable book that helps make sense of some of all the numbers and some of all the confusion that's out there.
Yeah, it's quite interesting. He talks about a
five-ton lifestyle.
Five-ton lifestyle. And if you essentially set yourself a budget, I'm talking a little bit more about this because a number of people have mentioned it, but we haven't talked out why it's so good. And I've got it, and many people I know have got it. But it is very good. It kind of says, why don't you budget yourself and see if you can keep within a budget, which means you'll trade off your trip, your family trip to the a holiday resort in Florida.
Yeah,
you'll trade that off by not driving the car so much, or reducing your footprint in some other way, and not just looking at I've done the plane flights and here's the, you know, amount of money to buy the trees to offset it. How could you perhaps trade yourself off before you get to offsetting? And I really like that idea. I haven't applied it yet.
There's always time.
I need a little calculator. Sees my budget sipping away like I've got my smart meter, I think, here.
I mean, I think you do. I think that's probably one of the most difficult bits. It's one of the reasons the book's good, is it just gives you that, like, that sense of, well, how bad is a banana? Not that bad.
No. Pre-packaged.
Exactly. Ships on the sea, so it doesn't need to get on a plane.
Ripens away from the tree. I mean it is how bad are bananas. You immediately think a ship from tropical lands. There's a sting in that particular tale, isn't there? I think he said there are 300 native species of banana and we eat one.
Yes.
And so what are the plantations doing? They're ripping up all the other species and planting one form of banana tree.
Yeah, and that's the kind of perfect example of the complexities involved, I think. You know, sometimes don't get talked about. And there's not a perfect answer.
No. And you can't be footprintless.
No.
There's nobody. At some point or another, you'll make a footprint, even if you go and try and cover it over later.
Well, exactly. You know, we track a little bit in our app, and you know, we've even got like just the impact of breathing. You know, you can't avoid it.
No, we're breathing out carbon dioxide all the time, and nobody's ever. Oh, don't even mention a cull. That would be horrendous. That's what we
would be. That's probably a little further than we need to go.
Probably so. Sorry to dive down that particularly dark avenue on your interview.
It's all right.
So you mentioned fact or fake. So I'm supposing you're prepared to test me with my knowledge on stuff.
I am indeed, a variety of stuff, mostly technology or tree related, given what we do.
Okay.
Are you ready?
I am ready. Give me my fact or fake.
Okay. Instagram emits about 5 grams of CO2 for every single post. Is that fact or fake?
Oh, that's good. 5 grams. Oh, you know, I was looking up just in case how much a short email message did and how much a small short text message did. And what's the difference? And there Instagram post I didn't think of. 5 grams seems seeing their reasonable size of content. I think I'm going to say fact.
True. Yes, you're absolutely right. Good work. So it doesn't seem too high, although obviously you've been reading about texts and emails, which would be even lower. But there's 90 million handsets in the UK, so adds up if everyone's Instagramming.
And presumably that take account, and as technologists both as we are, that it's not just the phone and the transmission of capacity over the network. It is it is about everything is needed to sit underneath that as well, isn't it? Which carries the burden. It's why it's so heavy.
Exactly. Yeah, absolutely. It's as close as we can do to a sort of all-encompassing figure for,
yeah,
a bit of a lifetime of a phone and the usage of the network and the power that powers it. It's tricky. Good work.
It is really difficult. I mean, does that mean Beyonce is a bigger CO2 emission, responsible for more emissions because more people look at her posts?
I mean, I guess indirectly, she gets a lot more traffic than my Instagram posts do, I'm sure.
mine, yeah. Okay. Fair enough. Thank you, Instagram. I got that one. Thank you.
Okay, so one out of one. Well done. Second one. So this is coming back to what do you do with your old phones. So 60% of mobile phones are discarded or replaced, even though they're still working.
60%? Wow, that seems a lot. Well, funny enough, we did a tech challenge back in, was that December, where we tried to get rid of a mobile phone. An iPhone 5. I think it was 5S. Nobody wanted it. And it works. It was working fine. It's just not up to date. So 60%, I'm probably inclined to say backed.
Well, you're half right. It's just it's a lot higher. So it's actually 90%.
No way.
Yeah.
90%, that's horrendous.
So many sat in the back of drawers and just never getting refurbished or recycled. It's extraordinary.
I wrote an article recently on Medium, getting the plug in.
Congrats.
I'll send you a link to it. Hey, it's my show.
Absolutely. You go crazy.
And we I did some research and the value of gold sitting in and other precious metals, palladium and platinum, that sit within these mobile phones, is the value of that gold is richer than the top one. It would beat 100 countries in their GDP in its value that's sitting in your drawer or in or in the
rubbish. That is an extraordinary amount of gold.
It is eye-watering, the amount of that is trapped in technology now and is part of the e-waste nightmare.
But anyway, and we'll run out. Then what will happen?
Yeah, we'll run out and then you won't be on. And then we'll be hunting around for phones to get their stuff.
Just
to mine the phones. So yeah, so it's we're just making ourselves worse and worse.
Yeah, it's extraordinary.
Okay, what did I do? I got that one.
Number three, sounds like you're going to be well placed on this one. No CO2 is produced from sending a text message.
No. Well, again, catering for all of the, obviously text messages, low impact on transfer. Especially if it's nice and brief, but I think it was 0.2 of a gram or something.
Yeah, less than a gram, but 1.6 billion sent every day.
But that mounts up.
Adds up quickly. In the grand scheme of things, you can probably send a text and not be too panicked.
You're right. I was well prepped on that one, having read the bananas book.
That is good. Okay, so we do a lot of forestation, so our next two are forest related.
Okay, might be harder.
Well, don't know. The world's largest tree is over 100 meters high.
Okay, so having wandered around California, I'm guessing it might be a sequoia. They're pretty ginormous, but it could be in the tropics. I'm going to say that 100 meters. I think that's short. I think that's a fake.
You're correct. It's higher than 100 metres. It's 115 metres and it is in California.
That's a half a kilometre high.
115.
Oh, right. Sorry, I thought you said
half a kilometre. That would be unbelievable.
615 metres. want to go see that.
It'd be worth seeing. Yeah, so it's 115, but apparently the secret at the location is top secret, so that nobody goes to damage it. And it might have grown even higher, but a woodpecker went to town on the top of it, and it's now got a damaged top, so it can't grow anymore.
Why wouldn't have thought a woodpecker could do that much damage? Wow.
I know.
I mean, they are big trees. They're bonkers size. If you ever go a chance, is it a sequoia? Do you know? Or?
It's a coast redwood, so it'll be in the same groves, but not a sequoia.
They got fences in the sequoia paths because, they funnily enough, although the sequoias are incredibly big, their roots run shallow and can easily be damaged from people walking over them.
Oh, so even just going to hug your favourite sequoia is actually,
you could be doing it great harm.
Oh dear.
So don't in that hug your tree.
Don't hug a sequoia. Not the tree hugger's tree of choice. All right, last one. At current rates, it will take 200 years to destroy all of the remaining rainforest in the world.
200 years to destroy the remaining. Oh, I was reading about rainforests yesterday. You can see my life is just filled with reading up facts and figures at the moment.
You just do this every week for the podcast to make sure that you're fully prepped. Well,
is that and doing 31 of these in the month of March as we are, I prep facts and fakes just in case I don't get asked. I'm reading up stuff from all sorts of things. So 200 years, that sounds quite generous to me. If Brazil and Argentina and Chile carry on as they are, I would have to say that's going to be a bit shorter. So I'm going to say that's a fake.
You are spot on. It is a fake. So sadly, 100 years is the answer, or based on our latest stats we were reading. But you're spot on.
No, I'll read you one I prepared for you, actually, which is global tree cover has increased 7% since 1982, says a 2018 study. Do you think that's a fact? I'm going to go back at you now.
I wouldn't be surprised if that is a study that you have read, but I don't believe it.
I know. It is a fact. Well, it's a fact according to that study. Let me read you the bit. Tree loss in the tropics is caused by agricultural expansion, while the new growth areas is in regions which were previously too cold to support such flourishing life, suggesting global warming is causing previously unidentified change to the planet's landscapes. So although the green cover's gone up, the cover is only gone up by 7%, and it's because we're making more land available by heating up the atmosphere.
And getting rid of some old rainforest at the same time.
Get rid of this old and uselessly all it's there.
Just nasty Amazon.
Nasty, nasty trees. Oh, that's brilliant. I thank you for those. And although I take away a 5-0 delightful win, I won't gloat much.
Very, very kind of you.
And so, Andy, that just leaves me to thank you very much for joining us on our B Corp Month on the Green Elephant Show.
Not at all. Thank you for having me.
We really hope that you found this special B Corp Month episode both informative and entertaining. Make sure you don't miss any of the 31 interviews with B Corporations who are striving to be a force for good. So make sure you subscribe to our podcast so you don't miss a thing. And don't forget to spread the word with others. If you have any questions about being or becoming a B Corp or any comments and suggestions about the show, please do get in touch. You can email studio@greenelephant.show or visit the website greenelephant.show or find us on Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube or Twitter by searching for Green Elipod or The Green Elephant Show. You can also review the show on Google and Apple Podcasts. Join us tomorrow and we hope you have a sustainable day.